NFL Sunday Ticket is now on YouTube and YouTube TV, which means that you can stay close to your team even if you don't live in their town. Like, maybe you're a Raven who married a Seahawk who got a job in the land of the Falcons. With NFL Sunday Ticket, you can watch your team's out-of-market Sunday afternoon games no matter where you live, because you shouldn't have to change teams even if you change towns. NFL Sunday Ticket, now on YouTube and YouTube TV. Go to youtube.com/presale to get $50 off.
Terms and embargoes apply. Offer ends 9/19. No refund. Subscription auto renews.
What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. I just went to my happy place. I just went to Maui, and it was truly amazing. Priceline has always been about getting you to your happy place for a happy price, with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels in Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The grade cricketer is a Twitter stream. It's about playing cricket at the grade level.
Boys!
Get a few today, did you?
To be honest with you, I hate grade cricket.
I went into to play for a team called the name escaped me.
Obviously, sharing's always a big issue for young kids coming into a senior cricket team.
I think it was like a witness league.
A bit of advice, a player, yeah. Sort of one.
I refer to the great cricketer here and I'll say, this will do a little bit early.
Hello and welcome to the Barty Party. There's so much happening in this, J. Cole's second album, The Off-Season. West Indies, Australia. Why are we the worst team in the world all of a sudden? Andrew McDonald is on the show to tell us why, how and what. England C or D or F are beating Pakistan handsomely. What are Pakistan? Do they know things? Let's find out. The 100 have got some new rules. Sri Lanka and India has been postponed for a couple of days because Grant Flowers got some COVID. England women, India women, that catch happened. Ireland and South Africa, Zimbabwe, Bangladesh. That's all before we get into hashtag RCDC, which get into some real daddy issues. My name is Ian Higgins. Sam Perry is he, Pezzy lad. Welcome to the winter that was. The winter of discontent.
That's how you normally talk as well when I walk through the door in the morning.
Pezza, how you going? Great morning. I set the toast at a 3 this morning. Medium brown.
Pezza is here. How are you?
I'm well. I'm well, thank you, mate. And I like that you started with Barty Party. Feels like a lot of other sports have been dominating, and rightly so.
Yeah.
There is the small matter of the Euros, which we must acknowledge. Yeah. Well done, England. You did well.
Mm-hmm.
Italy, better.
Better.
That's what happens in sport. Say what you want about everything else. Mm. Italy was better.
24 teams go into the tournament, 23 fail. It's about how close you fail to the success. That's indeed the most important thing.
That's right.
We'll get onto that in a moment's time. However, Pez, just to wrap up a bit of... we had a question on Patreon last week from an American guy who we just called Chuck.
Yeah, his name's Charles.
No, it's Charles.
I'm sure he appreciated that.
CK to his mates. Who are we now? He wanted to know what the fuck great cricket is. And so we went on this roundabout discussion. And he's followed us up. Where was he from? Is he from Texas?
He's from Texas. Well, to be fair to him, he was speaking in a lot of grade cricket parlance.
Yeah.
But making very clear, like he is an American, born and bred, has spent no time out here, played no grade cricket, but he's sort of, he's taken on board a lot of this language. It really gave rise to this idea that we want to bring out quite soon. We haven't, we won't announce it yet, but of people calling in.
Yeah,
because
I want
to hear
texture.
I want to hear a Texan speak with
texture,
great cricket chat.
Texan texture.
That's what it's called, is it?
That's what his son was called.
Indeed.
Now via Forbes. So anyway, he wrote in. He was telling us about Major Cricket League, the Major Cricket League, which is coming to the US. So I was reading
Major League Cricket.
And I was reading this via Forbes. Professional T20 cricket is coming to the United States for the first time. And its initial home, the new Major League Cricket League, scheduled for a 2022 debut with 6 franchises across the US, agreed to a long-term lease to redevelop Air Hogs Stadium in Grand Prairie, Texas, former home of Pez.
The Texas Air Hogs.
The Hogs. Or the Air Hogs. Hogs! I already like them. A now defunct independent baseball team, the 8-member Grand Prairie Council unanimously approved the plan. Redevelopment of the venue will occur through 2021 before the planned 2022 launch of the Texas MLC Club. The stadium, which will also get a new name, will serve as a base for the USA cricket national teams. There's so many levels this pairs in terms of, mate, what I wouldn't have given to fucked off my 3 years in England, played a bit of Texas stuff.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, First, nothing evokes an image of like cricket in lush green English pastures and the Grand Prairie Council.
Mm, for the air hogs.
It sounds like Americans trying to do an English version, mm-hmm. like an English bureaucracy, an English version of a cricket administration, and they've succeeded.
Yeah.
I couldn't be more behind this. Like, it speaks to US's soft power influence over Australia that, like, I could imagine kids, mm-hmm. kids in Australia growing up dreaming of playing for Texas.
Mm.
You know, like, what, you know, one of the aims of the IPL is to do just this.
Yeah.
You know, you're meant to grow up and get into this club versus country scenario where you go, listen, I'd really love to play for Delhi one day.
Mm-hmm.
But until India can infiltrate us with sitcoms like Friends or Curb Your Enthusiasm and sort of have that hold on our culture where kids are starting to speak in American accents and it alarms you greatly, we'll never feel the same connection. So I couldn't be more behind this. And if the Grand Prairie Council is listening, we're happy to get behind this.
And also, I'm pretty sure the chairman of the USA
CEO
is called Ian Higgins.
You'd be correct.
And it is me. And it is I. Anyway, that's patreon.com/ great cricketer. But the reason I get into this, Pez, is because now the West Indies have just beaten Australia for the third time in a row.
Yeah.
And
so that's 3-0.
3-0 in the series.
In three games.
In three games. Pez, the last time an Australian cricket team won a game of cricket was?
The last time Australia won a cricket match was when they rolled India for 36.
Yes, I remember that well.
Sometime in December last year.
When that was when we had the best bowling attack that's ever lived. Maybe true. Anyway, the point was, about the USA thing, was this guy Hayden Walsh Jr., who's rolling out some leggies for the US. He's actually played 20 T20s for the USA. He's got, I think his mum is from Antigua.
Right.
And he actually trained with the Aussie Time. in 2019 when we were over there in the UAE playing against Pakistan just before the World Cup. And Finch and he's bowled to Finch, Khawaja, I think Pete Hanscom has got COVID.
By the by.
I hope you're doing well, Pete. They were all like, yeah, this guy's a good bowler. And now he's got to start in the West Indies team, and blokes just cannot pick him. One of many problems that this Australian team has at the moment playing cricket matches. Discuss.
Oh, fuck, mate. Well, since they bowled India out for 36, they've lost 5 games and drawn 1. Mm. They lost in Melbourne, they drew in Sydney, and then it's 4 losses on the bounce. Right. And I know that's a bit of a winter equinox stat because they haven't played for a long time or whatever. Haven't won since then. Well, yeah, that happens when you don't play the game.
Yeah.
They don't win games of cricket that much, the Aussie cricket team, right? Mm. So there's this series, which I'm seeing now, Higos.
What are you seeing, mate?
Let's go from the top, right, before we just dive right in.
Start the
game.
Top.
Game one.
Yeah.
They were looking pretty good.
What the fuck happened there?
They were looking pretty good.
Pretty good.
Josh Hazlewood had 3 for 12. The last ball of his spell went for 6.
So he had 3 for 6.
He had three for six.
Or 3.5.
Yep.
Yeah.
If that ball hits the splice of the bat, he's got 4 for 6, you know?
Yeah.
But he didn't.
No.
He failed with 3.
In many ways, Josh actually cost us that game. In many ways.
Hazlewood's got 3 for 12 or 4 in a T20 game.
Yeah.
Australia go down by what?
19 runs. Yeah.
That in that game. That was, and I will put this in grade terms, he goes.
Please.
The Aussies took the gas. Mate. That is what we say at the level. They took the gas. What was it? They needed 4 and over with
less.
6 wickets in the bank.
Yeah.
With 10 overs to go. And they lost by 19 runs, bowled out. That is taking the gas. What does take the gas mean? What does that come from?
I don't know.
Let us know. Give us the etymology of that.
Yeah.
Take the gas.
Mm.
You've received this gas and now you're sort of, I don't know. Mm. I've offered you gas. You've taken it.
I've received the gas and I will take the gas now. And that's a negative. That has negative connotations. I don't know why.
If it's World War II stuff, less interested. I don't think it is.
Could be Middle Eastern stuff. Bit of Middle Eastern gear.
Why is that?
Are you taking the gas there? Gas, synonym for oil. I don't want to go back into the Israel-Palestine stuff.
No, you don't. Like, we've got no middle order, right? Our white ball cricket seems to struggle. We seem to struggle between batting positions 4 to 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And in T20 cricket, we seem to struggle from over 11 to 20 in any form, in any moment, in any innings.
Yeah.
And it has played out to 3 different styles of losses. We've all managed to lose in a whole bunch of different ways. Are we T20 Philistines?
Mate, now there'll be people yelling in their earphones in Australia. They'll be saying, oh, fucking go easy, boys. Bit harsh. We're missing Warner. We're missing Stoinis. We're missing Steve Smith. We're missing Maxwell. Missing Cummins. 5 guys who probably start. 4 of those would definitely start. But it feels like all those guys coming to the team, it's a better team. No question about that. It's a better team than what they're putting out at the moment. Of that, there can be no doubt. It doesn't solve the problems because we've seen this time and time again. Mitch Marsh has had the best series so far in terms of the bats. He's been batting at three. That's never been a problem. 1, 2, 3, all good. We're all good. Anytime Australia win a T20 game, it's because Finch and Warner do something amazing at the top.
Mate, at the top of the order, we're hard white ball, sea ball, hit ball, levers.
Give it a whack.
Pace, give it a smack, all good. Once we get into the nuanced stuff.
You look at the best teams in the world, New Zealand, India, England, and probably even the West Indies. You look at their batting. They've got guys to go down to about 8, maybe 9 if you're being generous, who just go. They can score at 120 to 140 balls. Now, Moses, I think, has in the middle order in this series, he's disappointed in the sense that it's fucking brutal. It's brutal in the sense that he's done okay, but he scored like at a runner ball. I think in the second game he scored slightly slower than runner ball. And it's just not good enough at the very top level, right? Like he's a wonderful batsman. He's going to be in contention to bat 5 in the Ashes, probably, or 6 in the Ashes. And his batting has developed and he's in the IPL. He's a good player. But you compare that to what other countries, the top 4 countries basically in white ball cricket can do. They all just go. They've got 9 guys who can basically just go. And how England sort of revolutionised the 50-over tournament, mate, and you obviously don't know this, so let me please fill you in
how they did it.
What they did, mate, is they just stood there and gave it a whack. They basically went through a process where they backed their batters so much. They played in flat wickets, obviously, in the UK. And they go, well, if 6 of our guys fail, we're going to have 3 guys going to have a day out. And that's how they start posting 350, 370, 400 scores. Didn't they score nearly 500 against Australia once?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty good. It was flat that day, to be fair to them. So
we're just a bit full of that.
And I just don't think that Australia, literally, they do not have the, in their roster, they do not have players that can score at 150 per 100 balls.
Yeah, why not?
Don't know. And now, this is the problem with the Australian cricket team broadly, in that anytime you put out a weakened team, and it is a weakened team, that's fine. But anytime I watch Australia play, I want them to win. Like that is the... You see, it says before, talking about an off-air, Australian cricket is the second richest cricket country, well behind India, than everyone else. How can we be now, after the Indian loss, we're a shit test team, we're a shit ODI team, and we're like fucking fourth or at best in the world, fifth in the world for T20s, right? Mm. Like, so where's Australia now? How has this group of players got to this situation where we're just so middling in the grand scheme of things? And there's also, well, in the back of all this, the players don't like the coach.
Well, what concerns me about all of this, he goes, really, is that, like, anytime somebody appears to be making these statements or facts about, like, literally the record of the Australian cricket team, their wins and losses that are
you can look it up.
Not disputed, you do seem to receive a procession of mitigating factors whenever it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, and we don't have to go through all of them. I've seen most recently... In relation to this series, it has been said, well, we don't have our first string team here. We don't have the top 4 or 5 players here. It's off season for us, you know. Windies are in their full season at the moment. What else have we got? I mean, they won every toss this game as well in Australia. There just seems to be mitigating factors all the time. When India knocked us over, it was JL saying, like, well, so they should. They've got 1.5 billion people, you know, finally. You know, mate, they got it together.
That's just what I was thinking. It's like, mate, the whole thing was like, oh, Natarajan bowled well. Did he? Who the fuck's that? The fucking 4 of the best in the world. Oh, Natarajan just swung him. Did he? Yeah, that's good.
That's good. His length's
right. And we're just supposed to cop that? Like, I'm not copping it. I want my team to fucking win every game because that's what Australian cricket should do. Am I wrong in thinking that?
I just think at what point are you able to just credibly zoom out and say they're looking pretty mediocre across all formats. It's not even a case of, well, they're not focusing on T20s at the moment. And even if someone said that, how can that be true when you've got guys paid very well, even if it's not the top 4 players or whatever, who are largely T20 specialists who go around playing all the franchises, etc. You know, what is the malaise in Australian cricket at the moment? It's not just one answer. And where do you begin to improve it? I mean, I just can't accept or can't believe that people would be out there saying this series doesn't matter. It's a bit of a net. It's a bit of a hit around. What? West Indies have like a 42-year-old and a 39-year-old in their side. Not sure, you know. It's I just think you don't even need to say too much. You just look at the facts. Just look at how the team's going. They're struggling. They're struggling across all areas. And then, yeah, there are questions about how happy is the camp. Are we watching a car crash in slow motion? Why does it feel like the Australian cricket team are just an accident waiting to happen? And why does it feel like it's going to have to be, I'm sorry to use this metaphor, but why does it have to be a big crash before we'll see change?
Mm.
It's quite clear, I think, to a lot of people now that something's not right there. So it's 3-0 against the West Indies. They got two more of those games. They then got Bangladesh.
Mm.
Very curious about people who are out there saying, well, don't take this that seriously. When are we meant to take it seriously? When they play England at the Wacker or whatever, you know, in Perth?
I still think Australia will comfortably win in the Ashes. So that's if that's the main goal, then good, I guess. But there's just, I know it's so hard to cop when you see the Australian cricket team just sort of roll over, especially in that first game like that. That was so fucking meek. Mate, I've also got no problem with like guys who are in the IPL not playing in this these games, right? I still have no problem with that because, I mean, we actually speak to Andrew McDonald about this and we'll drop to that in a moment's time. But I've got no problem with Smith or Maxwell or Warner or whatever missing these games. That's not my issue. My issue is the clear lack of depth that we've seen for a while now, because Australia so rarely put out their strongest T20 team. It's the format that we've taken the least serious, I think it's fair to say. And so it's so hard to get a gauge of where we're even at. And then when you see, you know, the amount of guys we've tried at the top of the order, Wade Finch, Darcy Short, guys who wouldn't necessarily be in the top echelon, I'm talking about Darcy Short there specifically, Mitchell Marsh batting three, Philippe. It just feels like there's a real dearth between what our best team is that we never see anyway and the rest. And then you look at teams like the West Indies who just got fucking IPL guns coming out of their asses. England doing wonderful things. New Zealand fucking, for the most part, played extremely well in that series over just before, when was that? April? Smashed us over there a couple of times. And it wasn't for Maxwell Heroic's one innings. We would have been pumped in that series as well. Then that's before you even get to India, who are just incredible. So it's concerning how far behind we are the rest in this specific format in a time when CA have given their central contracts not to guys like Pekowski because they want to give it to the white ball players. But are the white ball players good enough? I mean, that is the overarching question that I've got. I don't take this too seriously, but clearly I'm wound up about it, that we just do not have a dearth of excellent white ball players. And why? Why is that? Especially when we're not even good at tests either.
Yeah, I think it's across the board. I don't know how many of the mitigating factors can be accepted. I think you're just looking at, I think we're just looking at a reasonably mediocre setup, really. And I mean, look at the way that they've lost these games to the West Indies. I mean, I think the most concerning thing is the manner of the defeats, particularly when you're watching it. There's a huge batting problem in Australian cricket. It would appear.
Yeah.
You know, it's resting on the shoulders of two or three blokes, and then after that, it's slim pickings.
Well, mate, we saw this as well, didn't we? Sorry, go on.
They couldn't even in this third game. They've won each toss, and in the third game, they finished 5 wickets down after 20 overs, which would ordinarily leave you thinking that guys have had. There's been a few good innings, but they could not break out of scoring at a run a ball. I'm sure it's not for their own trying. It was literally a skills deficiency against the West Indies. And that's the thing that's most concerning. It's like it's more of a we're not at the races skills wise. I'm just not sure how that's acceptable. It's a zero sum game against other nations.
Yeah.
How are other nations able to construct themselves and develop their top teams to outskill Australia consistently? What's going wrong in a very resource rich, culturally rich country when it comes to cricket?
Yeah, it's very interesting in the sense that it's now been, 6 months since that game? No, more than that. No, when was Adelaide? That was like eight months
December.
Ago.
December.
Okay, eight months ago now. So I know there are mitigating factors there. They've hardly played, etc. But this is the second long drought. It's
been a while since the song.
Any danger of a song, boys?
Any danger of a song? I've forgotten the words.
Yeah, we should write a song for the Air Hogs, the Texan Air Hogs.
That's my dream.
But like, this is now the second long gap for Australian victories under Langer's term. And I'm not saying it's all about him, but I'm just saying in a short amount of time since he's been coach. Remember when after Sandpaper and he came in and then there was no Smith, no Warner, no Bancroft. And then we didn't win a game until the Wacker against India. Against India, and there was like, it was like 400 something days since we'd won a game. Pat Cummins took that court and bowl, we all celebrated, and yeah, we're back. But then the point where I was at, yeah, okay, but you know, if you take out Smith and Warner from your team, everyone's going to struggle. But the point is that there's no one coming through from there. No one replaced. Travis Head has been a guy that they've earmarked the captaincy potential, and he's been out of the team now as well. We're putting massive hopes on Cameron Green, who's he's Green himself at 21. Is that old?
And 200 centimetres.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen that. You know, Marnus is coming from the Ashes and he's been a revelation, but there's still this like, but apart from that, who else is coming through? Who can make up the step in any format and for Australia in the middle order?
And why? Mm. Why is Australia seeming to struggle to produce depth?
Would it be fair to say, now, I suppose in hindsight, when Australia beat New Zealand at home 3-0, that's actually a great result because I think that's the only series New Zealand
knocked
lost.
Over the world champions.
Exactly. And we should celebrate that. But apart from that, the only great performance in the last 3-4 years was the Ashes when we drew. We didn't even win. We drew it 2-2. And Steve Smith was an absolute freak for about 3 months. Steve Smith was Bradman. Apart from then, has anyone consistently done anything? It's concerning.
Yeah. It's happening. But I think that I think it's lucky for Justin Langer that they've not really been playing very much. Mm. I think we're seeing the manifestation of where the team is at that could be seen from post-Adelaide.
I got to say, it's pretty hard to imagine. They played these last two T20s against the West Indies at the end of this week. I got to say, the last two performances, pretty hard to see how Australia are going to win a game. This could end 5-0. That's ugly. And then they go to Bangladesh. Are there any guarantees there?
I don't know.
What's Shaka Bell Hassan doing? Kicking stumps over?
But, you know... Just bowl through the chest at England, all will be fine.
Oh, forget about this. Don't worry about that.
100%. Well, that's the greatest. That is the best thing about this series. Like, if ever this series was a fucking Men in Black neuralizer, it's this, you know? Yeah. Like, what happened? Yeah. You ask me next week what happened. I don't know. Who'd they play?
Yeah.
I forgot for a second researching England-Pakistan that they played Sri Lanka. It was last week.
Yeah. I know.
Have they had Sri Lanka yet? Oh, wait, that was last week.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of that stuff going on. But
all I need is one ball from Pat Cummins of the Gabba going through the chest of Zach Crawley.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're back, baby.
Is it
5-0?
It's the worst thing, is it? Come on, the Airhawks. Over.
Pez, now the rest of the show is to come. We're talking England, Pakistan. We're talking the 100. We're talking Sri Lanka, India. We're talking the women's Ireland, South Africa, and a little bit of Zimbabwe, Bangladesh, and some headbutt stuff. But before then, we're going to speak to Andrew McDonald because we spoke to him about 10, 15 minutes here in relation to this. Andrew McDonald, for those who don't know, is the assistant coach of the Australian cricket team, and he looked after the white ball squad when they went to New Zealand when Australia, the test team was supposed to go to South Africa. But before we do then, we should give a shout out to our very special friends at Budgie Smuggler Pez, and you've got a bit of an angle for us this week.
Well, we've both got an angle this week. He goes, yours is sensible, mine isn't. And
don't
I thought,
for me.
Okay. And I thought following the Australian Boomers' victory over Team USA in the basketball.
Fuck yeah. Great week for Aussie sport.
Mills, Ingles, etc. Knocking over Durant, Lillard. I thought we could talk about famous Australian Americans, and maybe you might want to put them on your custom design
Budgie Smugglers. I like it.
Which you get free design with.
That's right. Using the code CHAMP.
Use the code CHAMP. Save yourself $100 or 50 quid.
50 squid.
You will, and I know you will.
And I will.
Famous Australian Americans, he goes.
Here we go.
Christina Keneally.
Yeah.
The politician.
Yeah.
Taj Burrow, the surfer.
Yep.
Dante Exum, the basketballer. Kyrie Irving has Australian citizenship.
Does he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we went after him. He said, nah.
Nah, I'm good.
Stick with yeah, I'm good. I'm good, guys.
You sure? Kyrie.
Ben Simmons. Iggy Azalea.
Yeah.
Errol Flynn.
Yep.
Mia Farrow.
Mm-hmm.
Aussie citizenship.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson.
Yep.
Bindi Irwin. And Rupert Murdoch.
What about the shark?
Rupert Murdoch. You have to be the most famous.
Hey, Rup.
The most influential would be one word. He certainly had an influence.
Yeah. Talk about coats. Oh, look at that. It just got cancelled. I feel like Kasper Schmeichel in the Euros has lasers on my head. Yeah, what about the big old shark? He's basically an American now.
Is he?
He's actually come back to Australia. I think he sold his cabin he's got there in the States.
Fuck, there's another
guy. And his big old piece out in the budgies.
He's a big piece, good rig.
He's a coat. How old's Greg Norman? Is he 60s?
Oh, yeah.
He's got to be one of the most alpha, best-looking 60-year-olds I've ever seen. And you know I've seen quite a few.
You know he's a massive coat.
100%. That's fine.
It is fine, yeah. That's not stopped great.
Couldn't get a green coat, could he?
It's not stopped great rigs before, has it?
Now, wouldn't the Masters change if they start calling it, get that green coat instead of the jacket? Get that really gold coat just like I never got.
What was your angle?
My angle was great Aussie victories on the back of Ash Barty. Pez, you would have seen in my Twitter account, my personal Twitter account, thank goodness. I got pretty hammered on the weekend. I was just watching sport.
Yep.
And it felt good to watch an Australian. Yeah. I felt young. I felt like 90s. It reminded me of watching Pat Rafter. I was less of a Leighton Hewitt guy, but I was a big Pat Rafter guy. Serve volley. It was the era of Tim Henman. Pat Rafter, the serve volley. Get to the net. Close out points quickly.
Totally.
Bonds adverts. And I just felt watching Ash Barty there do the job. First female title at Wimbledon since?
Wollongong. 1980.
Okay.
40 years.
Unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. I had a little, I had something in my eye.
Did you?
Yeah.
Bit of dust.
Yep.
Yeah. Mate, that's right up there. That's got to be right there. There's like great Australian sporting moments.
And she's a legend too. And she's actually just, you see her in the way she speaks.
And a cricketer.
And you're like, what's this?
Yeah.
Is this, what's this humility?
Why aren't you a coat?
Yeah. You don't seem like a coat. What, the skeletons here, yeah. Barty?
You a Kiwi?
Yeah. What are we looking at?
I'm just normal.
I'm just normal and really good at sport and I'm quite grateful to my team and my parents.
I'm happy with that. Just comfortable in my own skin.
Yeah. I'll work hard. I play hard.
Don't trust
I'm
that.
Good.
What are the secrets there?
Where are they?
You've been handed out of cricket. You couldn't hack it at the top at the Brisbane Heat.
Loves the time playing cricket. What are we looking at here? You're a fucking solo sports person. Firstly, there's problems with that.
Big problems. Big problems.
Tennis players. Solo sports person. Plays a bit of cricket, a bit of BBL. So you play cricket as well, and then you come back and win Wimbledon. What is it?
So now what I change my thing is to people you don't trust.
Yeah.
Instead of great Australian wins.
Got to be secrets.
Okay.
Well, it's our way of respecting her. So
that's right.
So you want Barty on some design smugglers. I'm sure actually Linny and the Budgie people probably have a Barty design.
Yeah, they should.
In production.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can get all that and find out more at budgiesmuggler.com.au.
Use the code CHAMP for free custom design. Here he is, Andrew McDonald.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
We had our choice of who we wanted to speak to within the Australian cricket setup, and we thought, let's bring on the greatest baritone in the 21st century, possibly the 20th century as well. So we've got Andrew Ronnie McDonald. Ronnie, g'day.
Honour and pleasure to be back on here.
Why does that sound insincere? Ronnie, I'm just speaking on behalf of punters out there. We expect Australia to win every single cricket match at all costs and all times, and yet as we go to where Australia have lost two games, and lost two games in about three or four different ways throughout the game. So why are we losing? Is our expectations off? Are our expectations off? Or are there any other reasons?
Definitely fair and reasonable to expect high standards of the Australian cricket team. There's no doubt about that. And we're feeling as much as you are back home in terms of our performance. We've been disappointed in it. As you said, we had a good look at the first game, really strong position. You know, Matthew Wade at the top of the order going off like a firecracker, you know, sort of almost broke the back of the chase, and unfortunately weren't able to get over the line on the back of a great sort of defensive bowling effort against quite a powerful batting unit to restrict them to that total. And then game two, to be perfectly honest, we didn't get into the contest really. It was, power play was reasonable with the ball, and they got a partnership going and showed the power that they have in their batting lineup, and Russell put the finishing touches on that. And it was probably a few too many, which compromised the chase. And as you saw again, we probably faltered towards the middle of that innings and back end, and exposing our number 11 in two games straight is not an ideal way to be able to get the wins on the board.
We've seen, Ronnie, that we are missing about, five, six players who you think would start in the first string lineup, if you call it that. I mean, you've coached Rajasthan in the IPL before. You would have seen how big that tournament is, how good that tournament is, the standard of it. There's definitely a conversation over here about, well, should guys be missing you know, international series, you know, to play for a franchise which Australians fundamentally don't really care about. But I mean, you know, in your experience seeing the IPL, coaching in the IPL, can you understand why those guys would sort of prioritise, if that's the right word, you know, choosing the IPL over perhaps these two series, the West Indies and Bangladesh?
I don't think they prioritised, to be perfectly honest. I think what they did is that they played the tournaments and then on the back of it, and on the back of a long summer, made a decision, you know, in the best interest of many reasons, really, for each individual. And every individual's got a different story as to why they're not here. Some have, you know, got some physical injuries as well to mix in with the sort of bubble fatigue, which has probably been the term that's been sort of used to explain people missing tours. You've seen other international teams rotate and rest players. You know, England were an obvious one in that, in terms of some of the test series in India. There was players missing that. So I don't think they're choosing. I think what happened was that the season got big on them, and you know, they were in need of a break from the lifestyle that's present at the moment in international cricket. We're hoping to have a lot of those guys available for the World Cup. And as you said, you know, a lot of them are starting members in the team as well. But I seriously don't think they've prioritised the IPL over national interest. And I think if that's been conveyed, then that's a poor message.
Life's gotten big on me as well on a few occasions. Anyway, just thinking about, it's a good phrase. Ronnie, I'm not sure about the literacy in this country around T20 cricket. I mean, even from us, you know, it's very easy to listen to experts like yourself speak with in great detail about how teams are constructed and whatnot, and we just grow up with, you know, see ball, hit ball. Where should the country be pitching its expectations on the T20 side ahead of the World Cup? And in relation to the West Indies, I mean, were we outsiders going into this series? I thought when I turned on the TV and I saw it, you know, being played, you know, against guys, I know a lot of them in the IPL and stuff, but, you know, it just seemed a very kind of casual atmosphere or whatever. I thought, oh, Australia should towel these guys up. I mean, are we wrong about that? Where is Australia in T20 cricket?
Oh, as you said, we're missing a couple of our key sort of personnel for this series, but our expectation was that, you know, it was going to be tight. You look at the both teams on paper, they've got a seriously talented team, and we're in no ways disrespecting that or not respecting that. The planning, the preparation that went into this, you know, you could argue that it should be 1-1 at the moment, but it's not, and that's our reality. We're zipping two. We're coming from a long way back, and should we have been favourites for this series or the West Indies favourites? Oh, I don't know. That's something. I don't know whether you guys are sponsored by TAB or one of those fancy sort of betting markets. You're not, so you probably haven't run the odds on that. But if someone could get us the odds, then we'd be able to see whether we're favourites or not coming into this. Oh, am I allowed to use betting companies on this? No, I'm not. Okay, well, I just did. Sorry.
Oh, no, no. We run our own show, mate. I don't think we've got any paymasters on this one apart from Budgie Smuggler. I'll just check in with the CEO. I think he's okay.
What are these?
Yeah, no.
We're not available for gambling sponsors.
When I look at Ronnie, when I look at the sort of the big, big ticket teams for this coming World Cup, India, England, the West Indies included, they just seem to have power 1 through 8, 9, and I'm not sure that Australia have the clientele in their team, the personnel in their team to do that. We've seen Mitch Marsh do really well in these two games, batting at 3. That hasn't been the problem in Australian batting, has it? I mean, I feel like when I'm watching Australia win games of T20 cricket, it's because Finch and Warner do something amazing at the top, and we're sort of struggling for middle order runs a little bit. When you look at England, West Indies, India, they got guys, you know, coming in, Shreyas Iyer batting like 6, you know, for instance, for India, and Bravo coming in at 7 for the West Indies or whatever. So for Australia to win games of cricket, do you have to be more nuanced around it as opposed to just going like balls out for 20 overs batting?
Oh, there's no doubt we'll have to win it differently. You just mentioned probably the most powerful batting unit, which is the West Indies. We're not going to be able to play it that way. Mm. And we don't expect to play it that way either. I think if you look at our bowling, when it comes together as a full-strength lineup, that's probably one of our great strengths, keeping totals lower. Therefore, we don't have to chase as many. I mean, that sounds really simple and basic. But if we can keep the batting matching the bowling, and we've only got to win by one run. So I think our bowling unit, the 5 bowlers that we usually go with, are able to restrict teams to totals that are achievable for our batting lineup. So I think it's as simple as that. I don't think we have to be something else or be something that we're not. And your observation of our side is correct. We don't have as many power hitters as other teams, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that is what is going to win you a World Cup. And we have to be more nuanced. We probably have to deliver role clarity. You get the people in the right positions to be able to get, you know, the maximum out of our team, whereas other teams can rely on that individual brilliance at times. We've got to do it as a collective, and I think that's a good challenge for us to have in front of us. But I think just teams play differently, and we're different to other teams, and we'll see what works and doesn't work at the end of the World Cup. I think that's where we'll be judged.
Ronnie, only a couple left because I know there's some free beer downstairs for you. We've been told that. But there's no secrets in TJC.
How good's the West Indies?
How good's the West Indies? I'm really curious about your role in relation to, you know, pretty wide-ranging like public discussion at the moment about the relationship between Justin Langer and the players. Like, what's it like being an assistant? And just to back that up, obviously there was a review and Finch has talked about it, JL's talked about it, so that's all out in public. But, like, what's it like being an assistant coach and, as many people say, sort of sitting in between players and the coach when there are these public issues? How do you manage that?
I think what you're doing, every role within the organisation, you're trying to make decisions in the best interest of the team. And that's as simple as you put it. I mean, my job is to prepare the players, under the leadership of Justin and the captain, so that we've got two different captains in Payne and Finchie. So it's really about delivering what they expect in that preparation, having those resources ready for them, and then coming with ideas around how we can do things better. You know, it's been sort of well publicised. There was a review that gave us an opportunity to, I think it just morphed into a review, actually. I don't know whether it started out to be that, but that was sort of the public terminology around that. But it was more an open discussion on improvement, really. What areas can we improve in? What does that look like? And all through the organisation. And I think sometimes those checkpoints are really good to get some of those conversations that potentially don't happen, face-to-face. And the other thing with all of that is also we become quite transient at certain times. Most teams, when they lose a series, they're together, they move on, other sports, other codes. They don't have the challenge of them going back into other teams and you don't see them face-to-face. So a lot of those probably conversations at the end of series where you probably haven't achieved what you set out to achieve, they can sort of just fester and sort of grow into bigger things than probably what they started out to be. So for mine, it's really about getting the players back together, which we did in Brisbane and the Gold Coast, onto this series and moving forward on the back of the opportunity to improve. And as you said, you guys expect us to be winning. We've got to make sure that we're across all the issues that potentially are there, and issues being, you know, the tactical implementation of things on field, how we're operating off field. So there's a lot that goes into running an Australian cricket team. So there's always plenty of scope to improve to make sure we're getting the on field performance. So for me, I just keep it as, what does the team need from me? What's in the best interest of the team? And if you're making decisions around that, I think the team's going to be in a good place.
Is there a role for Ash Barty in this team, in this West Indies tour?
100%. I think her access to the leg side, it's downwind. I think she matches up very well against Dre Russell. I think he's been, you know, we haven't been able to combat his wide stuff. So I think that with her skill in her hands, I think she can do anything.
I was going to ask you, as a coach, Ronnie, just talking about that first game when we're cruising, again, we are playing in the team as well. not selected, but we are in the team. And that first game, we're cruising, what, 3.5, 4 and over for about 8 overs or something required, 7 wickets in the bank. And we fall well short. I mean, as a coach, you must be just tearing your hair out for a start. But is it, again, about T20 literacy, is it still like, well, we still got 4 and over, we back our skills, we execute our skills, and we cruise with, you know, 4 overs to go? Am I thinking about the 1990s? Boys, just knock it rounds, just hit 6 and over and we win it with 12 balls to spare.
Well, at that point in time, I disowned the batting group, took up my mantle as the bowling coach, and was unawares as what happened. I think we shut off at half time as the bowling unit, and then I saw a couple of blokes getting their pads on. I thought, geez, we're in a bit of trouble here. I think you're stating the obvious. I think if we had our time again, what would that look like from that batting unit? There would probably be a bit more smarts in terms of knocking it around. The risk would have went down, and, you know, we would have got across the line maybe 5 or 6 down. It wasn't to be, but you don't get your time back again. It's a disappointing loss. There's no other way to sort of sum it up or beat around the bush around it. It was a disappointing loss, and we are a better team than what we showed in game 1 and game 2 for that matter.
Mm. Andrew McDonald, there's free beer downstairs for you. We'll let you go. Wishing you the best for the rest of the tour, mate. And please start winning games for the country because we need it, because we need to feel safe.
Thanks very much for your time. And we endeavour to do a lot better than what we have in the first two games. And I like the fact that you're still claiming us as we. That's really important for us over here. Makes us feel a little bit better on the back of two losses, gents.
Wonderful to speak to Ronnie there. Second time's been on the show. How's the baritone on it?
For clarity, that was after game two as well. So yeah, they haven't lost the third one yet. But we knew what was going to happen. We all knew.
Also, a quick shout out to Chris Gale, who went past 14,000 T20 runs.
He can play. Oh, can we just... We should say, Windies are good.
Mate, they're good. Hey, I think you said this last week. They've got good players.
Yeah.
And Pollard's been injured. And he's probably their best player. He's their captain. Purin, Bravo, Gale's always going to do something. Fucking Walsh Jr. looks the business. A guy, when you're a wrist spinner.
McCoy, they brought McCoy and couldn't face a sub, or the real McCoy.
Yeah.
No, and then they dropped him. Brought him back.
Cottrell
comes in, wickets, poles.
Couple of poles.
Daggering.
That's good gear. Warner's got the most T20 runs for Australia. He's fourth overall. He's got 10,000 test match runs, so 4,000 runs behind Gale.
T20 runs.
Unbelievable. Okay, Pat, speaking of unbelievable, what happened last week was, as we got off air, seven members of the UK, the UK team, Team GB tested positive for COVID, I think about 2 days before the series started against Pakistan.
That's right, mate.
They had to draft in an entire squad. So how offside that is, that's bad news for those guys, but it's actually bad news for us in the presentation of our show. So entire new squad drafted in, captained by Ben Stokes, who seems like a pretty good player. Ashley Giles said the whole summer is on a knife edge in relation to how easily this can go south. And obviously, is it the 19th? The 19th when restrictions are going to end? No restrictions anywhere in the UK, July 19th. That's
Freedom Day.
That's 5-6 days' time.
Johnson seems to be briefing a few different things now.
They've got 30,000 cases a day anyway. They're expecting to go up to as many as 100,000 cases a day.
That's right.
The Indian cricket team are out in the community, as they are completely allowed to do. They've been at the Euros. They've been at Wimbledon. Ashwin's playing for Surrey, obviously, as well. Those guys will be in bubbles. But the point being is that, like, it takes one person in the Indian camp to get sick, and this whole summer's off because the India aren't going to be able to bring in a tiny squad. So
they probably have expats in England though, could come and give them a game
quite easily.
Indian fourth team.
Well, if fucking Shreyas Iyer's playing just a bit of club stuff,
yeah,
a year before he's in the IPL, they probably got some blokes knocking about.
So my understanding is that in England, if you're a close contact, you've got to isolate for 10 days. A close contact of someone who gets COVID. They're trying to open up. As it stands, that rule will be lifted on August 16, I think. I'm not sure if that's specific to the cricketers or the sports guys. So before then, there's two test matches with England and India. So you're hoping no one in those setups gets COVID.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Not just the players in the entire setup, because everyone else would be a close contact.
Yeah.
That's in a situation where they're getting 35 cases a day and rising.
So
look at 200 deaths a day.
Yeah, because you think about it in the entire setup, because the reason the Sri Lankan India series is delayed is because Grant Flower, the batting coach of Sri Lanka, has got it, and also like the video analyst.
Yeah.
So a video analyst gets it. Oh, yeah, game's moved.
See you later.
See you later.
That's before you get to the cursed tournament that is the 100. What happens if someone gets it there?
Fucking
hell. You'd assume they will. I mean, if there's 35K cases a day and rising, that's just what we know.
Yeah.
You went to the Euros final.
Yeah.
Just going to Wembley. Surely it was just a fucking cesspool of COVID.
I saw some footage there. Guys were getting quite close together.
Yeah. There was a fair bit happening at Wembley, it would seem. I also heard someone describe it as like the insurrection at the Capitol, Wembley way.
Actually, that reminds me. I should have said this at the top, actually. I will use this opportunity now. Now, the Australian players for the first time took a knee before the West Indies game. That's the first time the men's players have done it. First of all, good. That's good that that's happened. In my opinion, a little bit later than
Marxist, are you?
As you know, I am. Yes. So it's happened later than what otherwise might have been ideal or optimal, but it's happening, and that's good. And the reason that is good as well is because, like, what you see it happened at the Euros. I don't want to go into the whole deep level of this, but what from the Australian perspective, if you're a little bit isolated from it, you see what happens with the three English players who missed the penalties and the racist bullshit online, people booing the knee. This is the exact reason why you take the knee, right? And I just want to take the opportunity to say that, I suppose. If you have any idea about or opposition to Australian cricketers taking the knee in the West Indies, if you're that much of a dumb cunt. I couldn't help myself.
Like calling you a virtue. I just feel like just going at you for it, just so, you know.
Just for your own pleasure.
Oh, fucking snowflake shit.
Oh, you're fucking weak little cunt, aren't you? Fuck, I was just playing third grade again. Jesus. Fuck, it was fun playing grade cricket. I wasn't even good. Say whatever you want. You could say it was basically Twitter before third grade was Twitter before it existed. Oh, you fucking weak little cunt. Oh, you're on the front foot. There you are. That's interesting. Sorry, I'm still talking. Anyway, and that's why we take the knee. fucking snowflake cuck.
All right.
Anyway, England's depth, very impressive, Pez.
Oh, yeah, there's a team that's playing basically their twos and threes. It's not just their twos, because their twos are
in the squad.
Yeah, they've been cut.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of guys who didn't get a game now can't get a game with the whole first team out.
Mm.
So the twos and the threes come in. Fucking
spanking Pakistan.
Dust Pakistan in two fucking minutes. So that, Salt runs, Vince runs, Saqib Mahmood.
Yeah, oh, mate. Darwin Milano, Zach Crawley played his first ODI game ever, got a 50 in his first game. Globe in the second game.
Yeah, right.
Mate, that wicketkeeper John Simpson, he's been super impressive, man. I think about this semi-regularly.
John Simpson?
Yes, while I'm masturbating. He took a great catch off Matt Parkinson. Like one of the Pakistani players was sweeping. He caught him down the leg side of a sweep. Mate, English wicketkeepers, in my opinion, are the best in the world. We don't have that kind of quality. I've actually never seen that kind of quality anywhere. Like the county championship has wonderfully high standards of wicketkeepers. They come up to the stumps for guys buying quick. They're good with their feet, excellent with their hands. John Simpson's done great things, and he wouldn't be anywhere close. Anyway, that's just my wicketkeeper chat.
Yeah.
He's good. And then, bowling, Saqib Mahmood. Fucking sensational. Four-for, two-for, bowling wheels, lovely action. Pakistan are terrible, aren't they?
Yeah, I feel like just saying, I just didn't get their length right, you know.
Yeah.
No, not really. No, I mean, England deserve all the credit for that, really.
Yeah.
You bring in twos and threes to knock over an international side, regardless of it being Pakistan. So it's easy to say Pakistan is shit whenever they lose, really.
Yeah.
It's a good trope, but bring in twos and threes. I think that's...
To be fair, there's been a couple of really good performances from Pakistan. Hassan Ali in the second game took a bag and it bowled well. He's a good player, scored some runs down there as well. It's also nice to see Harris Ralph. He's been up in the bowling of Pakistan as well. Bowling wheels, bowling nearly 90 miles an hour, yeah.
Moving it around a bit?
Yeah, moving around a bit. And also he's obviously famously West Twos.
Yep. Speaking of twos,
Do people know about that?
I guess we've all, I think we've said that before. He was playing twos at West. Although obviously West decided, you know, have to take some wickets in twos before you get a game.
Now he's playing for Pakistan at Lords. Pakistan. Bowling at 90 miles an hour. Mm. West are strong, to be fair. On their day, but mate, this is a great example of England and their strength in their white ball cricket. You know, they've obviously got their own thing going with red ball stuff. It's obviously a confusing year for them. It's a confusing year for them, mate.
Yeah,
with COVID, and the amount of squads, amount of test matches they have to play, amount of tournaments, all that kind of stuff. But the depth they've got in white ball cricket, it might be only parallel with India. You look at the Indian squad they've taken to Sri Lanka. Fuck, it's a good team.
I think England's white ball depth is better than India's. I think England remain the number one white ball team and across both formats when you take it in its whole.
Who have you got then for the World Cup, the T20 World
India.
Cup? You got India because of the UAE factor?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I just don't know how well – I don't even know the characteristics of a UAE wicket. Do you? Yeah.
I know they've got tolerance oval.
Okay.
I find tolerance is such a weak term. It's like, oh, we're a tolerance society. Oh, you put up with stuff, do you? I say this last week. Sorry.
No, I don't think so. That's a different show you do.
Yeah.
Tolerance.
Tolerance over. Oh, that's nice. Oh, we're tolerant. Oh, that's big of you. Anyway. So that's, mate, that's the UAE analysis.
I was just thinking about alcohol tolerance. Like, I've got this thing at the moment. I've said this to you before, but like, you know, if you presented some things that happened like on your weekends, like in court, and they have to do in the court of law, people would be like, oh, that is hate. Like, if you had to present to yourself, for instance, you had to present to a court being like, oh, I had 12 drinks that night. like if that was reported in the press, it'd be like 12 drinks. You've had 12 drinks.
Yeah.
And you were doing unbelievable. Now, unless you were driving a car, I'm not talking about that. Yeah. But like, I've had 12 drinks before I came on air today. Drink responsibly. No, you know what I mean? Like, how many times have you had 12 drinks in your life? I bet it's more than 50. It would be. Now, if someone said to me, mate, I had 30 drinks last night, I'd be like, okay.
That's a bit.
It's a little, that's, yeah.
Standard drinks. Yeah, I've seen that before.
You're taking the gas.
30 beers.
Yeah.
Literally 30 beers. That's a lot.
Do you remember? When was that?
Oh, no.
There was. No. The other day, we're walking down the street, busy road in Melbourne, and it was like the first week of the school holidays. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have we already said this?
No, I don't think so, no.
I might say on Patreon. And we just come back from getting a coffee. Yeah. And then there was like these four kids walking down the street, and they would have been at best 17. They're between 15 and 16. Just first day of school, it was like Monday morning, Tuesday morning, walking down the street carrying a case of Carlton Draft on their way to some park, definitely. Yeah. Just the happiest kids I've ever seen in my life. Just they're about to have the absolute day of their life.
Yeah.
Drink responsibly.
Drink responsibly.
Or do whatever you want to do. Anyway, yeah, England played well. Pez, while we're talking about the 100, I saw an article this morning about some rule changes that have been announced. They're calling overs fives now.
Righto.
Do you remember the thing before how like wickets were going to be called outs? They've binned that. So wickets are going to be called wickets. I'm not going to call them outs anymore. But there's other things. So the whole idea of this format, it being 20 balls less than a T20 game, is that they want shorter games, 2.5 hours length on the nose. There's now penalties of like one less fielder outside the circle for slow over rates or five rates or whatever they're going
to
call
it. To get it on the BBC, right? To get it on TV.
All stats are going to be added to existing T20 data. I'm not sure how that works, but that's what they said. That's what they're going to do. Mate, the vitriol that I see under like this, even from mate journalists in the UK, who can understand they're protective, that they'd be protective of existing tournaments, which they think, well, let's just grow this instead. But mate, just the, I'm not talking about them specifically, but the idiocy of comments elsewhere being like, oh, nah, you've lost me here. There's absolutely no way. Mate, have you seen the players you're going to play? You're going to fucking watch. I know you're going to watch. It's on
television. A lot of them had to pull out though.
Yeah, but still, the English players, they'll still be playing, mate. Mm. And they, as we just said, they've got some wonderful players and some of the best in the world are going to be playing that tournament. And just this idea is like, no, I prefer the traditional stuff. Like, I know you're going to watch. You're going to watch it and it's going to be good.
Some people love hearing that. So I don't. Someone on the other side of the world goes, you're going to watch it. You're going to watch it. You're going to watch it. And it's going to be good. All the good players are playing.
But you know how, like, you know back in the day before everyone's uncle got on Facebook and no one uses it anymore, but, like, the people who, like, are very like, anti-social media, they're like, no, I fucking hate Facebook. Have you ever used it? No. No, I haven't. You got to use it before you know you hate it. That's what I'm saying. Give the 100 a chance before you hate it because you know it's going to be good. Yeah, they got some funny names for teams. Good players are playing, though. It's on free-to-air TV. Summer. Sounds good.
This cast is brought to you by the 100.
But you can use the code WEEKCUNT for free family tickets.
And a packet of crisps. No, I'll have a look at the 100. I can understand why people have the shits at it. They feel like their game is moving away. The game's changing. All the T20 stuff's
sure,
coming in.
Yeah,
a lot of traditionalists
that.
And shit.
I understand
shit.
That.
You even see, like, I heard a lot of people with the IPL Aussie stuff talk about how, like, a lot of the Aussie players have contracts with Australia now. They don't even play some games,
yeah,
you know, because they've got other responsibilities. Should their contracts change? This is all part of the same theme of the slow creep of short format cricket on the shit that older people like.
Yeah, yeah.
Older people, particularly of a certain generation, they always get what they want,
mm-hmm.
and they're a bit upset.
Mm. And they just beat the USA in basketball.
The Australian Gen Xers.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they call them. Now, I just like the idea. We were talking before about Hayden Walsh Jr., who's like played 20 games for the USA. Yeah. Mate, he's a good player. This sort of feeds into the idea, if the 100 takes off or T20 cricket keeps going, this will get cricket into other countries that don't exist already. I'm not talking about new markets in a commercial sense, just like new
You've
places.
You've always been a commercial guy.
Exactly. And like new places for like your teams that you support to go, new experiences, new light into your eyes. new sensations, new feelings. Who's this guy? He's an American guy. Can someone bowl 160 Ks an hour? Again, maybe. I want to see it. I want to go to the States, okay? I want to do live shows in the States at Air Hog Stadium.
I want to go to Austin. I want to go to Barton Springs. You want to lie down there. You want to meet a woman.
Yeah. You stop there real quick. There's also some other stuff with the BBL announced. Pez, not sure you've seen this, but they've changed the scheduling for the BBL coming up. They're going to wrap up the 61-game season before the end of January, which should mean that all of Australia's T20 players, obviously not the ones who play multi-format, i.e. Smith, Cummins, Warner, who would be in the Test Series for the Ashes, but all the T20 players, like Finch, for instance, will be able to play the entire Big Bash, which is good. And there's a T20 series against New Zealand, which starts on January 31. The BBL final will be a couple of days before that. So it's all within the school holidays. It's good. I think that's a good change.
Okay.
All right, Sri Lanka v. India, Pez. Now, you would have seen that India's limited over series against Sri Lanka is now set to begin on July 18 as the BCCI and SLC announce a revised schedule on the basis of health advisory after a couple of guys from the Sri Lankan camp had COVID. So the ODIs will now be played on July 18, 2023, followed by the T20s on July 25, 27, and 29, which is about five days later than what they had planned. The Sri Lankan and Indian teams were in different hotels, so there's no issue there with the Indian players. Yeah. I know the broadcaster weren't happy with this because the Olympics is going to start on July 23, I think, and they don't want it to overlap too much. But isn't this the problem just entirely at the moment with, like, the fragility of every series everywhere? Like, obviously, the Olympics, like Tokyo, announced a state of emergency for the 2 weeks before, during, and after the Olympics.
That's right.
So no one can attend the games.
Mm.
I guess it's good that they can do it at all, but the fragility of all of this is like just takes one case somewhere and everything fucks up.
One mistake here, boys.
One mistake.
Can you put COVID in grade terms? You'd expect India to dust Sri Lanka in this, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would. And the reason for that, Pez, is because Angelo Matthews has pulled out of this series. And this is something I did not clock, but he's pulled out until further notice for personal reasons. Those personal reasons are that during the England series, just before the England series, which was played last week, the Sri Lankan players refused to sign their contracts on the basis that there was no transparency in terms of the scaling of their contracts. So like we spoke a while ago about how little the amount of money the Sri Lankan players play in the context of fucking guys who play first grade in parts of Melbourne.
You get more money playing for Mulgrave.
It's unbelievable.
Which says more about Mulgrave and what's going on there.
That actually does say a fair bit.
And Mulgrave, thank you for getting in touch. And we'll very, very much appreciate the offer.
Yeah. Well, especially the money. Sure, especially the money they're offering, yeah.
And thanks to Greg Chappell Cricket Centre, who also got in touch and showed me CCTV footage of me batting.
Okay, that's something we spoke about on Patreon.
Oh,
so,
is it?
So Pez went for a net. Pez went for a net with Pete Hatzoglou.
Didn't I talk about it on this show at the start? And then I talked about the net with Hatzoglou
on
Patreon.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, so what happened was, so Pez went to the Greg Chappell Centre, picked up a few sticks, and then in the DMs one day, should we talk about this? Is it illegal?
Oh, no, the guy was fine. He was like, I asked him if it was legal. He seemed fine, but just it was always nice and concerting to get a message from someone showing you CCTV footage of you batting with a GM icon with a mask on. I'll post it. Anyway, he said the other bloke dropped all that money on that stick too. Anyway,
also three guys from Sri Lanka got COVID as they were leaving England. Oh, so it was like Dick Weller was one of them.
Righto.
I don't think other guys. Anyway, so yeah, Sri Lankan cricket in a bit of a shambles at the moment. So yeah, India are going to absolutely dust Sri Lanka, no problem, despite them taking a B team. But their B team is absolutely phenomenal, coached by Rahul Dravid. So, but that's actually the last three T20 games that India play before the World Cup. So last chance for them to see whatever the fuck. I mean, they've already got their team, basically. I don't think there's actually anyone. Might be one or two spots open for guys in this like Indian B team who can make it into the Indian T20 World Cup squad. But I don't know.
India-England final, West Indies smoky.
Mate, what do you think about West Indies kit?
I'd prefer it to be a 93 Lightning.
Same. Australia's got the worst white ball kit at the moment. It's
by a long way. It looks like I'd get the worst in my lifetime. King Kong sales across the road from school back in 1994. $2 only. Manchester United, Liverpool. You know those knockoff jerseys?
Yeah.
Celtic, Barcelona, $2 only.
Who's that?
Australia. Ringo, Star. Thomas. Gromit. Oh my God, it all makes sense.
Colin. Can't the air hogs. Fuck, bit going on this show, Pez. Yeah. All right. England women, India women, Pez. The first T20 at Northampton, England got 177. And they beat India on Duckworth Lewis by 18 runs because there's a bit of rain going on there. The highlight of that game, though, Pez, Harlene Diol's catch shown all over the world.
Yep.
I actually saw it on SportsCenter's Instagram.
We always become very excited when we get some love from the
Americans.
US. The Americans think this is good.
Yes. Therefore, it is good. See it? Seen the catch?
I have seen the catch. Sensational catch.
I mean, look, I'm not going to lie. I haven't watched every ball this series, but I've kept a bit of an eye on it.
Ooh.
And these two teams are really good. Because the Australian women haven't played in ages.
India's coming good.
Yeah.
They're starting to get it together as well. There's
Verma at the top who's 18, 17, 19. Yep. She's young and she's really good.
Shefali Verma too.
That's it.
Yeah, they're coming good, India.
The second T20, India won by 8 runs. So that series, I think actually third game is today. As with also the England men, Pakistan men, the third game is also today. The next World Cup for the T20 is in South Africa in 2023. It's not for a little while, but the next ODI World Cup pairs for the women is in New Zealand next year.
Good.
And I reckon, I mean, Australia wins that almost all the time, but New Zealand are actually a decent team as well.
I think, mate, if the Australian women's team don't dust every team,
yeah, mate,
and take take double bonus points, including the final, I'm storming the streets.
I like it.
Change the kit too while we're at it. I mean, for both, just for Australia. All
mate, I just don't know what the kit is for Australia. It's like, it's not a throw. It's attempted a throwback, but it's not a throwback.
And they fucking got this canary helmet out as a bit of a like ironic, you know, selling point late last year before COVID, and now they're going back to the green lid. Why?
No.
Get the canary going.
Get the canary going.
What's wrong with it? Anyway.
Man, I'm so upset about so many things.
Things are disproportionately piss me off.
Things are good, though, is that Ireland South Africa are playing a game. That's the first time South Africa's been in Ireland in 14 years.
World cricket show here today.
Yeah, mate, but it's good. Mate, I'm just excited that fucking cricket's being played again. It's been a few weeks. I know this is the off-season. Like, fuck, you were talking before about how much cricket's coming
There's a lot coming up.
Oh, well, there's a lot coming up. Yeah, Ireland and South Africa are playing an ODI series for some reason. And actually, Ireland started that first game right before it rained.
Both teams knock over Australia.
There's the second game that actually is being played today. The World Super League points are up for grabs. You know what that means?
I vaguely do. Don't you have to get some points to get in the World Cup?
Yeah, and both these teams suck on rankings. Mate, I don't know how South Africa is so low because they've still got gun players.
And they knocked over the West Indies in a recent tournament.
Also, Bavuma's captain of the white ball side. Did you know that?
No.
Did not know that.
Mm.
That says a lot about them more than me. Zimbabwe, Bangladesh, Pez, the big one, the one-off test. Have not seen a single ball. You seen a single ball in this game?
No, but we've got to play Bangladesh, and I'm not too sure about it.
Why do I think it's going to be close?
Yeah.
Why do I think it's going to be close?
Well, Bangladesh actually have a good team. We're going to learn
when
Australia start losing those games. It's a bit of gallows humour from us today, isn't there? We're going to be the guys who wrote them off. Oh, they were written off. Well, you deserve to be written off. You're losing. Who are you arguing against, Pezza? Don't know.
Some blokes got fined for a game they had a headbutt mid pitch. So that's our assessment of that game. All right, Pez. Hashtag RCDC coming up. However, we need to give a shout out to our dear friends who joined us the week of the Michael Holding interview.
And they're still with us.
They're still with us.
And they're still with us. Our great friends at Pilot, ladies and gentlemen. Now, look, we said this last time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening to this, the following... You know, it's unlikely that it applies to you, so they say. But because your mates have been asking. Now, how would your mates ask this sort of stuff, by the way? Let me tell you what they've been asking about. And you tell me, he goes, if that's the sort of stuff your mates talk to you about.
I've got some life experience.
So pilot.com.au is the online platform for men's health issues that are best dealt with head on. I agree with this. I agree with that statement.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're talking about your mates, they could get prescription treatments delivered for things like ED. What's ED, you ask? It's erectile dysfunction. It happens. We know it happens.
That's news to me.
PE, hair loss, and more.
What's PE?
Premature ejaculation.
Oh, yeah.
That also happens.
He pretended not to know.
What's PE?
I just keep thinking about that. Maybe a second test match for Zimbabwe, Bangladesh.
So you can get prescription treatments delivered for ED, PE, hair loss, and more. Your mate, not you, would chat to an Aussie doctor via message. And this is important to note, this is Australia only. And that doctor would provide regular check-ins, okay, for free while you sort those issues out. Fast, discreet delivery for those medications. Super convenient. It's for your friends who've been asking you. And there's tens of thousands of people who are already on, who are already using it. People aren't talking about this. Now, here goes.
Yeah.
Is that sort of thing you do with your mates ask you?
Well, mate, I know we're taking the piss, but that's actually legitimately happened to me before. One of my mates about 10 years ago, so we were young, in our early 20s. Yeah, he was having troubles getting up.
What's his name?
I'll leave a link in the description. You can DM him. Yeah, he was getting it up. He just started dating someone, he liked her, just had some nerves and some other stuff, and I presume it's sorted out. But it did.
What'd you say to him?
Mate, don't worry about it. Just get in there anyway. Just give it a go.
Could you put it in grade terms?
I just stand there, give it a bash.
Unfortunate verb. On my WhatsApp thread with my schoolmates, there's a lot of hair loss chat.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my mates is thinning, and he's quite open about what he uses. Like just gets into it, and he's good for it. He's a performer. He just goes for it.
Right.
Doesn't mind. Other mates of mine, hair's starting to look suspiciously thick, claiming nothing.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Your hair doesn't thicken as you get older, brothers.
No.
I just wish they'd front up about what they're doing, as they should. Should be fine.
It's all good.
You know, it wasn't really an option for me. Mine just went, you know. I made a comment to a bald guy and he said it can go fast, you know. So I believe I was cursed.
He was a witch.
Pilot's a good organisation. I'm not sure it could overturn that curse. He just looked at me. I'll never forget his eyes.
Yeah.
He can go quick, you know. Fucking hell. Like in Harry Potter. He looked like Voldemort.
Yeah, was he wearing like robes?
Yeah, training. North's training. Yeah, he played two's leggy. His name's Nugsy. If you're listening out there, Nugsy, I'll never forget you saying that to me. He lives in Hong Kong now, I think. Successful career. But I wish I had pilot.
Was he holding crystals? He can go quick, you know. Shazam!
May as well have been.
Yeah.
With that in mind, if you are listening to this and this is relevant to you or a mate, let's just say it's you. You can get a free doctor's consult. That's $20 off with the code CHOPKING, CHOPKING. To do so, visit pilot.com.au/TGC to get started. So again, that's just connection with a doctor, $20 off. You can have a chat with a doctor about all those things that I listed there or anything else I suppose is in that ballpark or wheelhouse and get prescription treatments delivered for EDP, hair loss, and more. So if that's relevant to you, get involved and get $20 off. Just type in Chop King.
Hashtag ask TGC, Pez. Should I take this moment to re-choose my verb instead of give it a bash? Don't hit women.
No. I think this the spirit. Was,
okay.
You said it in the right spirit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just starting to be misconstrued of words that I literally said. All right, Pez, couple of ones here. Couple of good ones here. Would you mind if I start?
No.
Edward Lowe writes in, says, "Dear TGC, I was in my final year of school and due to play against the old man in an annual fixture. To set the scene, he is closing in on his 60th birthday. His vision is fried, presumably because he still likes to practice skiers in the midday sun without a cap or sunnies, maintaining that with the correct body positioning, the sun doesn't come into the equation. Sometimes it just does. He is struggling to move or even bend over owing to knee surgery in an era when they had a proper rummage around and made worse by a weight issue brought on by the fact Sunday is an overlooked word in Sunday roast. In a very rare feat, I progress to 95 and he remains unmoved at first slip. Oddly enough, and like most, he despises fielding and has taken to bringing his phone out with him to the field, not just to check a racing result here and there, but to watch the entire card. In between races, I get a thick edge. He moves effortlessly to his right and pouches it. As he walks past me to celebrate with teammates, he says the words that still haunt me today. No one is dropping that one, son. Take into account I've observed him for years returning from a day of cricket with bulb-like bruises on his shins, explaining to my mother, who could not give a fuck, that he simply couldn't bend down. His dad, of the same age, was clinically blind for fuck's sake. I was attempting to cut a leggy off my stumps. Jesus. It's a reasonable argument to make that you would really want to score 100 when your own father has dropped you on 95, but it wouldn't have been the only catch he dropped that day, and retrospectively, everyone would have forgotten that minor point anyway. At least in the aftermath, I thought I could revel in my own performance, but the only topic of conversation was his catch, and naturally, he loved it. Why? I never managed to get on the honours board, and every year, someone sends a picture of the board with some comment like, I thought you went to school here. Little do they know. Ed.
Oh, hit 95.
No, he was pretty good about it. Though there are some obvious questions I want to bring up, Pez. How can you get onto the honours board for like a dad's versus lads game? And a school fixture. When your dad, if someone's bringing your phone onto the field and you score 100 in that game, you do not deserve to be on any honours board.
There'd be certain schools where just wearing the cap of the school and playing, representing your school and scoring 100 would be a feat worth acknowledging. Not many people score hundreds. That's one thing.
Yeah. But surely a fixture has to be of certain weight.
Yeah.
Can't just be a friendly.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to get any disagreement from me on that.
Okay.
If there's any opportunity to basically gang up or bully any person who writes into us, then I'll take it.
Yeah, fuck you, Ed.
Exactly. Thank you for contributing content to the show. You're not in front of me, so I feel emboldened to abuse you because I'm strong.
That's right. What was I going to say? Something really funny, insightful, and intelligent.
What?
Sorry. Sorry, cock. I told you I've been drinking.
As in, were you being like a rooster there or saying cock?
I don't know what I was doing.
The image of his dad, like, I just imagine his dad has like dirty sneakers as well, like dirty shoes.
Hey, mate, imagine if he was wearing black shoes.
Watching fucking horse racing, mate, with his shirt, shirt out. He's probably got some old weathered cap on that he's worn, you know, up to the tab. Or wherever, you know, you call whatever you
call
it.
Whatever his institution may be, his preferred.
He's standing at first slip, watching on his iPhone, like getting reception. Like, is he tilting his phone? Just watching a race. Oh, it's so grim. What hand's he holding the phone in?
Mate, I've played golf with guys who fucking are on their phones, like in the cart, just watching horse racing. Mate,
fuck.
Now, for like, you know, if you want to gamble, I guess go for it. Horse racing. All good, whatever.
Carrots, whatever it is.
You run out of carrots, get on the punt. But it's just fucking so grim. I hope they know that. I hope the people who do that know that, that it's so grim for everyone else that isn't you.
Just love life.
Am I ostracizing the audience?
Nah, just like, I like that an hour ago we were laughing at like having, not being that abnormal, having 30 beers. Nah, that's not grim because it's funny.
And everyone around you likes that. Yeah, I don't know.
I agree. Mate, personal view. I think it's grim.
What percentage of the population has scored 100? Cricketing population has scored 100.
So, cricketing population? Yeah. So, you've played... anyone who just has played a game? Or has
anyone
who's
played a season?
Season of cricket.
Season of cricket.
At any level.
Any
juniors.
Level. Juniors.
Yeah. It's got to get the parameters right.
That's right.
What percentage has scored 100?
Yeah.
We'd have to... Yeah, that's a really good question.
10%?
No,
not 10%. No. Not 1 in 10.
No, I don't think in any given team you go in and there's a person in that team has scored 100.
This is like Seinfeld. What percentage of the population is dateable? It's like 1%. He had some level of Seinfeld.
3%?
3%?
3 to 5%.
Yeah, I've scored 100.
Yeah.
If you've scored multiple hundreds, you are top 1. You're probably top 0.5% of anyone who's ever played cricket.
It's got to be in like a game that was kind of proper. Like it's got to have had like its own stumps and
none
a boundary.
Of this backyard shit.
No. 100 runs to your name, and the opposition was trying to get you
trying
out
to get you
in
out.
Six ball
yeah,
overs.
Mate, it probably is 1%. It probably is 1%.
You defeated those teams with 100 runs plus the scorecard, and there was somebody scoring.
And if you're lucky, in a losing side.
No fucking picnic shit.
No picnic shit.
No fucking backyard shit. And for the international audience, no gully cricket.
Now, in fact, if you have
Can
scored,
I say that?
Now, in fact, if you...
Formal cricket.
I don't know the levels of gully cricket. And I'm sure no one's going
to
fill me in.
When we talk to Shreyas Iyer, it sounds like there's 1,000 people playing. You've got to wait your turn to bat.
There's some stuff you see on Instagram where, like, it looks like gully cricket to me, but there's, like, 10,000 people watching it.
Yeah.
Kind of like a tennis ball and no pads and stuff.
Smoking some amazing shots over square and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's always leg side.
Guys bowling at fucking 150 k's an hour.
Yeah. So what's that? Now, but if you have scored 100 in a picnic game, you can also get in the bin. If like in a picnic game, you've scored 100. What's a picnic game?
Don't know. Well, I remember at school, we had like a school picnic in primary school. It was like the last day of the year or something.
Okay, nice.
Just a day out. There was a huge game of cricket going on, and I'd already established myself at the school as the cricketer. And so I was batting for an inordinately long amount of time.
Yeah, let's get to lunch.
And not getting out. And then the year four teacher came on.
What, was he by threes at the time?
He was big.
Okay.
He was big.
Yeah.
And he asked me what I was on. I wasn't counting my score. I said 97. And then and so he gathered everybody around.
Yeah. Well, like, bumped you.
Oh, put pressure on me under the lid. Still remember my mate standing there fucking like alligator hands.
What the fuck's wrong with this bloke?
Yeah, yeah.
How old are you? You're 9, 10.
Oh, yeah, 9 or 10, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And got me out for 97.
How'd he get you out?
Bowled.
Yeah, right. Set you up.
Oh, mate, the whole school was cock-a-hoop.
Yeah, send-offs.
Oh, send-offs. He was doing aeroplanes.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah, Munich stuff.
Oh, my God.
He's doing aeroplanes. Actually, that was just a flashback I just had.
Fuck me.
Why'd I say I was on 97? Compulsive lying.
Oh,
well, I'm just trying to atone for it now.
How upset were you? Were you upset like you got out for 97?
Yeah, I was humiliated. I was embarrassed.
Rightfully so. He set you up.
It's a lesson, I suppose.
He pushed you back, three back, one up.
That's it, mate. That's it. He just fucking castled me.
Well, he was a pretty normal bloke.
Well, he's the best teacher I ever had, actually.
Yeah.
So, does that help, Ed? Simon Ashby, last one. Boys! The recent discussion on hashtag AskTDC involving father-son games reminded me of an incident from my childhood. Like, everyone's got memories, don't they, of this shit?
You just spoke for 5 minutes about your fucking year nine.
Oh, it wasn't year nine. It was in year nine. I was working around the corner.
I just got him behind it.
Shot, yeah.
Sorry, yes. Everyone does have trauma, yes.
To set the scene, my old man was a former keeper and never made a ton, but plenty of 50s, and seemed to have been a somewhat capable cricketer. He was involved in the establishment of a couple of cricket clubs in northeast Melbourne before moving to my hometown of Bendigo, where he played at a number of clubs before eventually becoming one of those old blokes who was a little too obsessed with the club, being club president for a few years, running the bar at club functions while simultaneously being the drunkest person at functions, scoring at the ones and twos on Saturdays to get away from mum and other family commitments for the whole weekend, and so on. There's no doubt most considered him to be rare. I once overheard someone referring to him as the eyebrows guy.
So pedestrian. Who's what's that boy's name?
The eyebrows
The eyebrows guy.
And he had a tendency to crack the shits at not just myself, but most members of the community. Most notably, his infamous 10-year boycott of the local IGA because the owner was, inverted commas, a prick.
That's some fucking dad stuff right there, isn't it? 10-year boycott.
His infamous 10-year boycott. My old man has always been coach of my older brother's team. My older brother was and still is a far better cricketer than myself. He consistently played in the A grade and had recently made his first ever ton and fifer in the same game, featuring in an article in the local paper. Meanwhile, I languished in the Bs, making 10 to 20 runs every week and taking 1 to 2 wickets as one of the best players in the B grade, and was always told I needed to try harder and I would be in the A grade. Brackets, I had played 1 year of A grade in under 11s where I bowled one over and didn't bat in a grand final winning side.
Fuck yeah.
close brackets. There was no doubt I was a disappointment to my old man after my brother's recent exploits. Our usual routines included intense staring competitions at opposite ends of the dining table and stirring my old man up saying I hated cricket. For some insane reason, our club had decided a father-son game was on the cards, and I had the momentous chance to bowl at my own dad. 14 years of seething hatred and bickering flashed before my eyes. You know, put in more effort, inverted commas. Your brother is better than you. Stop stuffing around, racing through my mind as I ran into bowl. I clean bowled him, knocking over all three stumps as I gave one of the biggest send-offs of all time. This game occurred in roughly 2008-09, so the only celebration that could be done was the Shane Warne-style 700th wicket celebration. Tubby Taylor saying, "They can't catch him," ringing in my ears. "Fuck you, Dad," I thought, as I triumphantly ran off. Especially running all the way off. Yeah. Forrest Gump. You know, race. I've since moved to Melbourne and found a club more in fitting with my values and enjoying playing at an extremely low level of park cricket. The question now is, did I peak at 14? Will anything better ever happen to me in my life? Am I the alpha to my dad's beta? Will I ever score more than 27 not out? Cheers and thanks for the laughs. Don't listen to the keep your politics out of it crowd. They're wrong and they know it. Simon.
Well done, Simon. Very good. Yes, you are now the alpha.
Yeah, that is. That's a straight alpha.
I think that is the kryptonite to your dad. Years of stop stuffing around, your brother's better than you, put in more effort, that kind of
gear. Want you to be better at cricket.
Fucking rock and rolled him.
Clean bowl too.
Three stumps out of the ground.
That'd be the only way to do it. Yeah. There'd be no other form of dismissal where you could just have as visceral a reaction.
You couldn't scratch him off. You couldn't even bump someone out.
Mm.
Bowled. Clean bowled. They've attempted to stop the ball. And they have
failed. If you bumped him, gloves all around his head.
When he was
bumped him into
himself.
His helmet, knock his helmet off.
Oh, Jesus.
And then the helmet's onto the stumps.
Shit.
Well, I'm just saying that. I'm just trying to think of scenarios that would be acceptable. But again, that's still bowled. But clean
bowling is more humiliating than that.
Yeah.
There's something brave.
Mate, you were just, there was nothing in front of the stumps that stopped the ball hitting the stumps.
You've just outskilled someone as well. It's a humiliation.
Mm.
If you just bump someone out, you got quarter leg gully or something, they're fending away.
Mm. At least they've dealt with the
that's
ball.
That's a great alpha power play.
Yeah.
You've alpha them there. But the humiliation that I think Simon was seeking here has been a result of clean bowl where three stumps are out of the ground.
Mm.
See you later. It's not going to be any better than that. Doesn't get any better than that, mate.
Yeah. I really wish that he'd yelled out, "Fuck you, Dad," as he ran off.
Yeah.
That would have been so good.
Slightly crying?
Like
a slight tremor in the throat?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck you, Dad!
Yeah, but doing the Shane Warne celebration at the same time, crying and running off the field.
Perfect.
He's got nothing more he needs to achieve in cricket.
His
relationship to cricket was inextricably connected to his father.
Yep, that's right.
He's castled him. And now he's basically in cricketing retirement, or he's at a retirement village of cricket by just playing lower-level park stuff, enjoying it. Will I score more than 27 not out? You might one day. You might one day when you inevitably have the same issues with your own son.
Yeah. And
you'll
score.
Which you will, because you will repeat your father's errors.
Of course.
You definitely will. It's in your DNA. Mm. No counselling will assist you in that.
No.
You'll repeat the same errors, except when your son goes to bowl to you, you'll score more than 27 not out.
You'll cry
about your dad that you miss.
Fucking weak cunt.
You fucking weak Marxist cunt.
Thank you very much to Andrew McDonald for his time before cracking up with some free beers in the West Indies somewhere as Australia went to a 3-0 loss, a famous 3-0 loss. Will things get better? Will they get worse? Who's to say? And I'm talking about COVID now. See you guys next week on The Great Cricketer. Patreon.com/Great Cricketer if you want to get around. Hashtag us to see Fridays and all the excellent and the extra content around that. All right. See you guys later. Cheers.